Good morning and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church. We are gathered here this morning to say goodbye to our dear brother in Christ, Robert Bob Thorson, a beloved husband and father and grandfather and great-grandfather and a friend to so many in this community. And whenever we gather together for a service like this, we don't gather as those who have no hope. But as Christians, we gather in the joy and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the anticipation of our reunion in heaven with those we love who have died in the faith. And so for our worship service today, everything that you'll need for the service is printed for you on the green bulletin, which you received as you came into the sanctuary. We will begin our opening hymn, which is How Great Thou Art. You may be seated.
Thank you.
Please stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In holy baptism, Robert was clothed with the robe of Christ's righteousness that covered all his sin. St. Paul says, "Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his." We continue our service now as we recite Psalm 23 together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. O God of grace and mercy, we give thanks for your loving kindness shown to Robert and to all your servants who, having finished their course in faith, now rest from their labors. Grant that we also may be faithful unto death and receive the crown of eternal life through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's word. Our first reading today is from the book of Revelation, chapter 7, beginning with verse 9. After this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures, and they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, "Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen." Then one of the elders addressed me, saying, "Who are these clothed in white robes, and from where have they come?" I said to him, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are the ones coming out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple, and he who sits on the throne will shelter them with his presence. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our epistle reading today is from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy, chapter 4, verses 6 through 8, and then proceeding on to verse 17 and 18. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. But the Lord stood by me and strengthened me, so that through me the message might be fully proclaimed and all the Gentiles might hear it. So I was rescued from the lion's mouth. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia and verse. Alleluia, Alleluia. Jesus Christ is the firstborn of the dead. To him be glory and power forever. Alleluia. Our holy gospel reading is from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 11. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Having heard the word of God, we will now join together in speaking the words of our common Christian faith, the same faith that Bob shared with us during his earthly life. We will speak the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Our next hymn is Amazing Grace. to the family and friends of Bob Thorson, to those who are gathered here today to celebrate his life of faith, as well as to mourn its earthly end, especially to you, Laverne, Bob's beloved wife of almost exactly 65 years. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I was really glad that about almost exactly a year and a half ago, Marvin Hake invited me to come on over to Bob and Laverne's house for the very first time, gave me an opportunity to really get to know them. And at that time, I didn't know what to expect because we didn't really know each other all too well. But man, we had the best conversation that day. That was such a wonderful visit. And the best part about it was that Bob was in such a good mood that day. And that was a really big deal because back then, Bob was really starting to go through a lot of stuff. He was dealing with some confusion. He was a little frustrated that he couldn't do all the things physically that he would like to be able to do. He was really at a time when he was a little bit down. And to have that moment, to have that conversation and have it go so well was really a great blessing. We just really hit it off right away. I mean, this was a guy who for most of his life was so strong, such a powerful presence in any room, and had such a sharp mind too. I mean, he could really just do anything that he set out to do. And then to all of a sudden be sort of homebound, that was really out of the ordinary for him. And he really didn't like that all too much. But it's like for a moment in that conversation, all of that negative stuff kind of went away. And I remember specifically one of the things that he talked about was one of his favorite topics of conversation, which is his experience serving in the Army as a paratrooper in the 11th Airborne Division. And one of the things that he said that day, he probably said to me about a million more times in all of our visits after that. He told me that because of his experience as a paratrooper, he knew how to fall. So we didn't need to worry about him, in other words. If he lost his balance, if he went down to the ground, he knew how to fall. He was trained to fall without hurting himself. And he said that to me so many times. That's probably one of the things I'm always going to remember about him. He always said it with a smile and with a twinkle in his eye. I know how to fall. I'm sure almost everybody who's gathered here today has something similar that you're always going to remember about Bob. This was a guy who packed a lot of life into 87 years. And he knew it, too. In fact, he knew that he had been blessed by God beyond any of our ability or capacity to deserve it. And that's why one of his habits was to wake up every morning, look up toward heaven, and thank God for another day. And one of the things that he said to everybody he was close to, especially after his 80th birthday, was that he knew he was living on borrowed time. He knew that God was giving him every new day as a completely undeserved gift. But he didn't actually have to say that out loud in order for you to understand that about the way he lived his life. I mean, he lived every day as though it was more than just about him. It was about his faith in God. It was about the way he loved to show that love to other people all around him. And he did that in so many different ways. A lot of those ways were kind of subtle, right? A lot of those ways that he showed that love, he wanted to bless others with the gifts that he'd been given, he did that in ways that maybe a lot of people wouldn't even notice. So maybe it was just in the simple way that he tried to be a really good neighbor to all the people who lived all around him. He looked for ways that he could help people. He was always so kind to all the kids that lived in the neighborhood right there too. Maybe it was just in the simple way that he just really loved to grow tomatoes. And he grew so many of them, and he did it mostly because he just wanted to give them all away. In fact, I got a bunch of those tomatoes this year too. He did it in little ways like how he would support his community and local organizations You know, Nashville sports boosters and loving to watch those basketball games. He loved the Nashville Hornets and American Legion and Lions Club and those kinds of things. Just little ways here and there. But then there's those big ways too, right? There's all those hours, the time and the effort that he put into his relationship with his wife, with his kids, with his grandkids. He especially loved hanging out with his grandkids and supporting you and driving you everywhere that you needed to go and all those things. I mean, I heard this week this story that I hadn't heard before about one of the really big things that he did years ago is he actually bought a house for his in-laws, for Laverne's parents, because he wanted to make sure that they had a permanent place to live. And Bob knew what it was like to not have a permanent place to live, because a long time ago, there was a time when he was living in a tent on a golf course. He was looking around for golf balls that he could sell to golfers to try to make a little money and try to get by. So he didn't want that to happen to anybody else. He wanted everybody to have a permanent home. Just some absolutely amazing displays of love and kindness and generosity. And of course, all of that comes first and foremost from the love and kindness and generosity that our Heavenly Father showed first to him and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The other day, we were at the funeral home, and we were trying to figure out what scripture we might use as a theme for the service today. And God's kind of funny in that he sometimes just brings things to your attention out of nowhere. And so the inspiration for the service today actually came from a sweatshirt, the back of an FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes sweatshirt. And the verse, and it's actually on that red poster board over there too, but it was in our epistle reading today from 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7. I'm going to go ahead and read it again. It says, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith." It's really a perfect verse for today. And not necessarily because Bob really liked to race, although I did hear about this souped-up car that he had years ago that could go even faster than the cops could catch up with. And I'm sure whoever designed that sweatshirt was thinking, you know, like literal running, right? Like cross-country and track and those kinds of things. Probably not thinking about a funeral. But when St. Paul wrote those words to St. Timothy 2,000 years ago, he actually did have the end of his life in mind. In fact, Paul wrote that letter where that verse is found from a jail cell shortly before he was killed by the Romans for his Christian faith. And Paul at that time was reflecting on everything that he had been through and everything that the Holy Spirit had accomplished through him and all of the preaching and the teaching and the missionary journeys all throughout the Greek world. And in the verse right before the sweatshirt verse, in verse 6, Paul even says, "I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come." So in other words, he was spent. He had given everything that he had to give, and the only thing left to do was to go to heaven and be with Jesus. And you know what? I see a lot of similarities between what Paul was going through at the end of his life and what Bob was going through at the end of his life, too. Because Bob poured himself out. And he showed love to people and spared no expense in doing so. He didn't worry about how it might cause him to suffer in any way. He didn't think about how his bottom line was going to be affected. He just showed love. And he did that because, I'm fully convinced, because he said it a million times, he knew how to fall. As a Christian, he had been trained how to fall, how to die, and how to die well. He knew that someday his race would be over, and he knew by faith in Jesus how to fall asleep in faith. So even though his body has fallen asleep, his soul is alive and well in heaven with Christ Jesus. And that's exactly where he knew he would be. And so that's why Paul's words in verse 8 apply to Bob too. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. There is one and only one way that anybody gets to wear that crown of righteousness, and it's not because of how well we live our life. It's not because of how good we are, or how much better we are than other people. It's not because of how generous we are. It's not because of how well we're remembered, how fondly people remember us. It's none of those things. Those things are nice, but none of those things have anything to do with the reasons why our Heavenly Father welcomes us into His kingdom. If we want to be where Bob is at this very moment, if we want to see him again, if we want to stand with him before the throne of the Lamb with all of those saints wearing the white robes that we heard about in that reading from Revelation, then first and foremost, by faith in Jesus Christ, we need to know how to fall. We need to be trained how to die. In other words, we simply need to believe and trust that our righteousness does not come from within us, but it comes from the one whose earthly life showed us really what true generosity is. Our Lord Jesus Christ spared no expense in coming to save us from our sins. He left all of the glories of heaven, and he became one of us, a true human being with no faults, no failures whatsoever. Jesus ran the race of his earthly life with no missteps, no stumbles, no falls into temptation. When the time came for Jesus' earthly race to end, he allowed himself to fall. Not to fall into sin, but he actually allowed himself to get hurt. He allowed himself to be killed on the cross for you and for me and for Bob too. And only because he did this for us, only because Jesus poured himself out like a drink offering, do any of us have hope on a day like today. On a day when we're looking up here at the casket in the sanctuary, on a day when we are already missing Bob terribly, we can still have hope and have joy that today is not the final answer. That death really has been defeated. And we can still look up to heaven just like Bob did and thank God for every new day that he gives to us, because the truth is, when it comes down to it, we are all living on borrowed time. We are all living each day only by the mercy and grace of God. And someday, when the time comes for us too, we're going to know how to fall. By the example of those who have gone before us, people like Paul, people like Bob, but most importantly, by the faith and trust that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And until that day comes, we run our race in confidence. Paul says in verse 17 that the Lord stood by him and strengthened him, and it's no different for you and me. We mourn, and we pour ourselves out like a drink offering today. But the Lord will see us through, because after all, we know, we've been trained how to fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. This time we're going to continue our service by hearing a very special song, and so we will hear that at this time.
was trouble. And only you could know the pain. You weren't afraid to face the devil. You were no stranger to
Please stand for prayer. Let us pray to the Lord, our God and Father, who raised Jesus from the dead. Almighty God, you have knit your chosen people together into one communion in the mystical body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Give to your whole church in heaven and on earth your light and your peace, Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been baptized into Christ's death and resurrection may die to sin and rise to newness of life, and so pass with him through the gate of death and the grave to our joyful resurrection. Lord, in your mercy. Grant that all who have been nourished by the holy body and blood of your Son may be raised to immortality and incorruption to be seated with him at your heavenly banquet. Lord, in your mercy. Give to the family of Robert Thorson and to all who mourn comfort in their grief and a sure confidence in your loving care, that casting all their sorrow on you, they may know the consolation of your love. Lord, in your mercy. Give courage and faith to the bereaved, that within the communion of your church, they may have strength to meet the days ahead in the assurance of a holy and certain hope and in the joyful expectation of eternal life with those they love who have departed in the faith. Lord, in your mercy. Help us, we pray, in the midst of things we cannot understand, to believe and find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy. Receive our thanks for Bob and for all the blessings you bestowed on him in this earthly life. Bring us at last to our heavenly home, that with him we may see you face to face in the joys of paradise. Lord, in your mercy. O God of all grace, you sent your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, to bring life and immortality to light. We give you thanks that by his death he destroyed the power of death, and by his resurrection he opened the kingdom of heaven to all believers. Strengthen us in the confidence that because he lives, we shall live also, and that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, will be able to separate us from your love, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Lord, now you let your servant go in peace. Your word has been fulfilled. My own eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared in the sight of every people, a light to reveal you to the nations and the glory of your people Israel. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He who believes in me will live even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in me will never die. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord God, our shepherd, you gather the lambs of your flock into the arms of your mercy and bring them home. Comfort us with the certain hope of the resurrection to everlasting life and a joyful reunion with those we love who have died in the faith. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Let us go forth in peace, in the name of the Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Before we sing our closing hymn, there are a number of individuals who would like to share some words, and so I'll invite you to do that at this time. If you would please come on up here to the lectern and speak into this microphone.
So there's something Shelby wrote and I want to share with y'all. So God saw you getting tired and the hero's not to be. So he whispered, come to me. A golden heart stopped beating, hard-working hands at rest. God broke our hearts to prove to us he only tastes the best. Papa was the best. Never once did he put himself in front of others. He wanted to help whoever he could, from giving people the tomatoes to giving all his friends home, especially these two, always late. So Papa was always generous to all of us. He helped us do many things. He always stood strong. And he taught us how to love. I loved my granny Graham for 65 years. But so Proverbs 11:25 says, a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. So Papa's in a better place now. And we love him. We'll miss him. Thank you. I was the oldest son of three boys. I got to do a lot of things with my dad that my younger brothers didn't get to do. My dad was on a bowling league. He coached the American Legion baseball team in Sauk Rapids, Minnesota. We went fishing, ice fishing, hunting all the time. I was fortunate enough to get to tag along. And by him doing that with me, we instilled it onto the rest of the family, and which was great because he was just the kind of person that liked to teach. He wanted to show you how to catch a fish, kill a deer, drive a car fast. And what the pastor said was one thing I'll always remember about Dad and his fast cars. Because he could never say anything to me about me having a fast car. All I'd have to do is bring up his past. His uncle was the chief of police or the deputy in Alexandria, Minnesota. He told me when we were up there one time, he goes, yep, I was in a hot pursuit chasing a guy. He goes, and I look in my rearview mirror and here comes your dad. And he passed me and the guy I was chasing. So, true story, I heard that from Carl Belts, Dad's grandpa's brother. But Dad was raised by his grandparents, and they did a great job. They taught him how to love, how to garden, how to be the man that he was. And he did, like Daniel said, worship his grandkids. He made an attempt to go to every sporting event, whether he had to drive 4 hours or just right up to Nashville. but I knew it wouldn't be right if me, his oldest son, did not get up here and talk a little bit and tell him how much he was loved. And he knows in heaven now that we did love him very much. And he loved us the same. He taught us how to love. When I was about 13, my dad worked hard. He'd come in, take a bath, lay down on the couch. I was like, scoot over. I'd lay at the other end of the couch. Here come David. He was about 7 or 6. He would jump on the other side of dad and lay on the couch. Here come Joel. He was about 1. He would jump up on top of dad and lay on the couch. Perfect. My dad and all 3 of his boys laying on the couch. That's just what kind of a person he was. He wanted us to be near him. And we are going to miss him, but he is in a better place. We were so sad that he was falling and getting hurt and stuff, and we just did not want to see that any longer. It hurt us as bad as it did him, I'm sure. I love you, Dad, and we'll miss you and see you in heaven. Amen.
Try this again. So Pastor Waldenberg delivered a very appropriate message. And if you looked at the obituary, between Pastor's words and the obituary, there's a lot of things that were said that I'm not going to repeat. I'm going to look here today, and unfortunately the church is somewhat empty, which is very not what Bob was about. How many of you here remember the first day you met Bob? Laverne? I see a couple hands. My first day when I met Bob was March the 14th of 1977. For me, that was the beginning of a very good relationship. We were co-workers, and that's how we were introduced. That developed into a whole lot more. For a lot of you guys, your relationship with Bob has been a whole lot different. Family, friends, but there's a couple things I'll try to be brief and tell you. So in my time with Bob, Pastor mentioned Bob's service to this country. Bob was dedicated to this country and to his God. And he was also dedicated to his family. I can't tell you the stories that I've heard about him going to ball games, doing things with the kids, grandkids, you got rides, everything else. And I'll give you a quick story. Like I said, Bob being dedicated to his family, I remember a time when Laverne went back to Tennessee. Bob, along with at least one other friend that I know of, I'm not sure if anybody else participated, but they went out on a mission one night looking for sweet corn to help feed the family. Somewhere in their encounters through the night, they came up with several bags of sweet corn. And after a long evening of searching, they came back home. They cleaned the sweet corn, prepared it for the family. So being a co-worker, the next morning, Bob came to work. He was a bit dreary from his long evening of husking sweet corn and everything. But the good thing is, he was there to provide for the family again. Sooner or later, you know, as the day went on, Bob says, man, I got to get home. He said, Laverne's coming home today. He says, I got some things to do. So apparently he had some sweet corn put back in the fridge or whatever. I'm not quite sure. But things proceeded throughout the day, and Bob carried on. Evening, after the end of the shift, Bob was gone. And I guess maybe one thing I ought to tell you, though, is that you guys were living on the house on Main Street here in Hoyleton. I probably didn't tell you that they husked this sweet corn out on the carpet of the living room floor. Bob says, man, I got to get home. He says, if Laverne comes home and find that room like this, he said, she's going to kill me. So throughout all of that, I know this is a time here for Bob, but let me say something. Laverne, thank you for not killing him, because we've had many years of a very good friendship. So for your family, for your kids, take heart in what is taking place here today. And you know what? Right now, so for many years, home was on the other side of the highway. Home was across the parking lot. Home today is with God in heaven for Bob. And like you guys, I will cherish the day when I get to see him again.
Thank you all very much. We are going to conclude the service now with our closing hymn, which is Let Us Ever Walk with Jesus.